I had the opportunity to, on many occasions, to visit different countries. And as you know, different countries have different cultures. And some of the cultures, quite fascinating to see how they do things differently from what we are used to. Where I'm from, in the Caribbean, many years ago, I don't know if it still exists, but I know definitely it was one of those things where somebody who's coming to visit your house, when I say somebody, I mean somebody in authority, like a minister or somebody high up in position, come to visit your house, and my grandmother, she will take out the best cutleries to welcome that visitor. Anybody experienced that before? Oh yeah. Now for 350 days of the year, all those cutleries are still sitting in the cabinet. And only comes out on special occasions. With other words, those people that come to visit, they sit at the very top end of the table. The gospel reading we heard this morning, not long ago, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, there you can see it presents two parables focused on humanity and hospitality, highlighting the contrast between worldly ambition of God's perspective of honor and service. Now, Jesus observed guests for the best seat at a banquet, and then advise them to choose the lowest seat to potentially to be honored by the host. He then instructs the host to invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, who cannot repay the favor rather than those who can. The challenges the guests and the host to reevaluate their motivation and action, emphasizing humbling and selfish service as part to the true honor and blessing. When you read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, it says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers." That's what the Bible says. The kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of this world we live in today. The great truth is at the heart of Jesus' ministry. Over and over and over again, Jesus opened his heart, spirit, and life to the stranger, the lepers, the prostitute, the law tax collector, the blind and the lame, the poor and the powerless, the widows and the orphans, the hungry and the sick, the Gentiles and the foreigners, the lost and the outcasts, the weary and the burdened, the ones on the edge and the ones hanging on by a thread. This is where Jesus opened up his heart to. But here's the thing. No one was excluded. All were welcome. We sang just now, brothers, sisters, let me serve. Let me be as Christ-like to you. When we sing these words, what do they actually mean to us? That's how we should want to live. And yet, we struggle. We really struggle to greet someone you don't even know. I said to you earlier this morning, not long ago, say hi to the person next to you. Do we actually know the people that actually come into our church? Someone walk into a church, you never seen that person before,
Has that person feel welcome?
Have we gone and say hi, hello, where are you from, what's your name? Would that person come back next Sunday? I'm not sure. I remember one time I went to a church. I was preaching there, and a family came in, husband, wife, and four kids. They sat in the third row, and I welcomed them from the pulpit. And I said to them, the steward will see you at the end of the service. I said that from the pulpit. At the end of the service, not one steward went to say hi to those people. Brothers, sisters, let me serve you. Are we actually serving? How often do we put people at the top of the table as Jesus wants us to? We're not sure what to do sometimes, or what to say, or how to act. We fear the ones who is different from the unknown to us. We resist being vulnerable and opening ourselves to a stranger. That's how we feel sometimes. But if we serve this God we said we're serving, God is not a stranger. You were once a stranger in this church too. You were once a stranger here. How often do we answer the phone when a caller ID comes up unknown? I personally don't. If your name doesn't come up on my phone, I'm not answering. You know why? Because somebody else always wants to sell you something. Anybody experience that? I told somebody on the phone one day, he said, you have a car accident. I said, is it? And we're willing to give you some money. I said, well, just send a check. You got my number. I mean, you have everything else. I suspect most of us don't. We want to know who is calling. We don't want to be surprised. We want the option, the control of deciding when and for whom we answer the phone. When the doorbell rings, I can promise you one thing, you look through the window to see who is there first. If you recognize anybody there. Sometime when my doorbell rang, I asked my wife, who is that? Because I want to know before I open the door. I'll be expecting someone. Kingdom hospitality leaves us feeling vulnerable and at risk. And for good reasons. Kingdom hospitality tells us to open up the door even before we know who is there. Let me declare something here, then. I am not suggesting that we open the door to just anyone at any time of the night. I'm not saying that. Jesus is not asking us to be reckless with our safety or the safety of others. And I don't want our children running up to strangers and saying hi. I don't want that. That's not hospitality. That's foolishness. Jesus said, you don't need to try to impress anyone with your righteousness. The only one whose opinion of you matters is God. And he knows your heart. He knows how far short of his righteousness you have fallen. But the good thing about it, God loves us anyway. The one who issued the invitation has the final say about the ranking of the guests. As we accept Christ's invitation to join him at the table of the kingdom of God, we must admit that we are only there by grace. We don't deserve such grace, and we aren't any better than anyone else because of it. I believe, and if I get this right, last week you had Holy Communion. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah, we had Holy Communion last week. The table that was spread last week, the Holy Supper, no one was exempt. No one was exempt. When we come to that table, come believing that you are the host. Jesus wants to put you at the top of that table. It's a blessing to receive that invitation. It's a blessing to bless others. Taking our place at the bottom of the table, where we know we belong, if we're really honest, allowing us to respond with joy, when Jesus, our host, tap you on the shoulder and said, what are you doing down there? Come up here. Jesus inviting you to come up. People reject Christ because they fail to understand the truth about themselves. They overestimate themselves and their ability. People base their beliefs on their own opinions and ideas rather than the authority or the facts. They have an unwanted assurance of their own position. Some of us beliefs are insecure, but it's subject to change when Jesus invites you to the top of that table. Even though you don't realize it. Some of us are ignorant of ourselves. They do not recognize their own sin, happiness, helplessness, and selfishness. When God blesses you, He has chosen to favor you. But what for? God blesses you that you will be a blessing to others. His blessing is all about you and not what you think. His blessing is about you and is not about you. It's about others that you have privilege of blessing. Psalm 112, the psalm that was read this morning. Let me remind you what it says in that psalm. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find delight in His command. The Psalms we read focus on the blessing and character of God's fearing, righteous person, contrasting them with the wicked and emphasizing theme of generosity. We can often explore the nature of fearing the Lord as a delight in His command, leading to the life marked by grace, compassion, wisdom, and a deep trust in God, even when life doesn't go the way you want it. Psalms put the spotlight on human, declaring that happiness is to be found in the life honoring God and living according to God's commandments. Such life will enjoy God's blessing. Though living in a dark, evil world, God's presence will be secure and steady because their hearts are with God. The Bible reminds us, let me remind you what the Bible says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second of this, love your neighbor as yourself. We talk about blessing. We bless our food, we bless ourselves, we bless one another. We need to accept God as the source of our life. We need to accept God as the source of our blessing. Because we cannot receive the best in our life on our own. We need God. Like it or not, we need it. When you manage God's resources well, He increases the value. He multiplies your work value. However, you must acknowledge God in all things that you do at all times. So, here's the application for you here this morning. God gives you all that you have. How can you handle it when He blesses you abundantly? You know, sometimes people pray, Lord, bless me with a big house. Lord, bless me with a new car. God, bless me for this. God, please, please, God, please, please, please. But hang on a minute. If you cannot clean the one bedroom flat that you have, how can you manage when God bless you with a big house? Are you hearing me? If you can't look after the car that God already blessed you with, how can you look after the nice one when He bless you with something new? God gave us everything. God provides you with many opportunities to multiply what He has given you so that others will also come to Christ. If God has blessed you with a car, are you willing to give that stranger a lift? If God has blessed you with a lovely home, are you willing to give that stranger a bed? God has blessed us in many ways. Just being here today, it's a blessing. Even being here today is a blessing. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
The Bible tells us in James chapter 9, verse 10, humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up. If you want God's blessing, sometimes we just need to humble ourselves. And by humbling ourselves, I can promise you one thing here this morning. God will put you at the top of that table. He will put you there. But we need God every day. Every day of our life we need Him. So as I close, enjoy the blessing of God, but don't forget who gave you that blessing. Amen.
Amen.